But we have tonight, this week, been discussing the church moving forward. And our theme verse has been Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, where it says, "Not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." This is the last lesson in our series in this gospel meeting. And the fact that we are going to be moving forward, well, regardless of what we do, we're going to be moving forward. The problem is sometimes we're moving forward in a wrong way. Or like Alan said, if we get things backwards, we might be froward instead of going forward. And so we've got to be sure that as we're going forward, we're going forward the way God wants us to do. And so far, we have looked at challenges that we need to accept. The challenge of making a difference in the world, of evangelizing our communities, of developing leadership, of abiding in the Word of God. We talked about enemies that we need to defeat: ignorance, apathy, unbelief, and sin. And we talked about how that ignorance and apathy and unbelief all lead to sin. We also noted that we have dangers that we need to avoid. The danger of false doctrine, of division, extremism, and overreaction. And last evening, we talked about how that we have opportunities that we need to take. We discussed how seeing opportunities is a key to any success. We have to be looking for these opportunities. We also discussed how that there are certain principles involved to taking advantage of our opportunities. And then we discuss briefly some opportunities that are set before us. But there is one more essential ingredient in moving the church forward, and that is attitude. Someone once wrote this, saying, "Who am I describing? It is the advanced man of our true selves. Its roots are inward, but its fruits are outward. It is our best friend or our worst enemy. It is more honest and more consistent than our words. It is an outward look based on past experiences. It is a thing which draws people to us or repels them. It is never content until it is expressed. It is the librarian of our past. It is a speaker of our present. It is the prophet of our future. What is it? It is our attitude." In this lesson, I want to share with you some biblical truths about the importance of attitude and show you how it can help us in accomplishing moving the church forward in a very positive way. Let's begin by noticing what is an attitude and why is it important. Attitude is defined as a person's prevailing tendency to respond favorably or unfavorably to an object, a person, a group, or an event. Practically, it is how we think or how we feel about a thing. Attitudes, well, they're formed by what we believe to be true about things. Attitudes, well, they're expressed in a lot of different ways. For example, it's expressed in our facial expression. And I really get a kick out of this one because You can tell people that you're happy to be here. But your facial expression says something else. It's kind of like your wife cooks you supper and you say, "How was it, sweetheart?" "Really good," you know. And so your facial expression really, can tell a whole lot about what your real attitude is. And also, not only that, but the tone of voice or our inflection also tells people a whole lot about our attitude. You know, and we can, and this is something that young people really do not get. Because parents can see through you and you don't even realize it. You tell them, "Go clean up your room." "Oh, okay." And then you say, "Don't give me that attitude." And they go, "What?" They have no idea that their inflection of voice or the tone of their voice tells you a whole lot about what their attitude is to something you've just told them to do. Unless we adults get too high and mighty, we can be found the same way if we're not careful. With our facial expressions, with the tone of our voice, but also our attitudes can be seen in our behavior or lack of it. What is your attitude toward the Lord's church? We say, "Well, I'm all for it. We need to be doing things." And yet our attitude, our real attitude for the Lord's church is seen perhaps in what we're not doing. You see? That can be, what's your attitude about your job? If you really like your job and you're not just showing up for the money, what are you going to do? You're going to do your best, top-notch job, right? But if you've seen people who don't really like their job, their attitude's not right, and so what kind of job do? Sloppy. Sorry. And you can make application of that in almost any phase of life, spiritual or physical. Attitudes are expressed in several ways, also in the way we perform a task. Not just the doing or not doing, but how well you're doing your task. Again, if there's something that you really like to do, you're going to do it your best, right? And also the energy we put into whatever we're doing. One of the things that we do when we don't really want to do something, our attitude's not too great about it, is that we procrastinate, don't we? We put it off. We don't do it. And attitudes are expressed in the interest we have in a person, a thing, or an attitude, or an activity. We may say that we love one another, but our inactivity, our not being involved in that person's life says something different. Right? Attitude is not just what you say, but it encompasses a great many things in your life. And the question that I want to leave you with, not leave you with, but begin your thoughts with tonight is this. How are you expressing Christianity? If you had to take a little 3x5 card and write down in one sentence, "How do I express my Christianity?" What would you write? It's important for us to give some thought to our real deep-seated attitude toward the church, because sometimes how we really feel on the inside is going to come out. And not the way we expect. Because we can lie to ourselves saying, yeah, the church is the most important thing to me in the world, and yet everybody else sees what you're doing. It's kind of like your kid. They go, what? And you go up to some Christian, yeah, I really wish you'd be a little bit more faithful. They go, what are you talking about? What? I'm faithful. I'm there every first Sunday of the month. What are you talking about? You know, some people have that mentality. What are you talking about? I'm there every Sunday. I'm there in the pews every single time. What do you mean? I need to be stronger. See, sometimes we don't see our attitudes being expressed by our actions. The late General Douglas MacArthur wrote something very profound about his aging birthday. He was on his 75th birthday. He wrote this. In the central place of every heart, there is a recording chamber. As long as it receives messages of beauty, hope, cheer, and courage, you are young. When the wires are all down and your heart is covered with the snows of pessimism and the ice of cynicism, then and only then are you grown old. Have you heard somebody say things like, you're only as old as you feel? Or maybe you're only as young as you feel, however you want to look at it. It's our attitude that makes all the difference in the world. Have you ever known, I've known, there was a lady in Malvern, Arkansas. This lady was like 95 years old, still driving a car, and I never seen her walk anywhere. She was always scuttling, you know, going off somewhere like that. And I said, man, but she says, you're as young as you feel. And I know some people who are like 50 years old, and you think they're about to die. I'm so old, you know, and things like that. It's how you feel, isn't it? What you tell yourself. It's your attitude. Your attitude makes all the difference in the world. On how we view things, how we view our age, how we view the scenarios around us, how we're viewing the Lord's church. Wouldn't you hate to wear glasses all the time? Asked a little boy of his playmate. No, the little boy answered slowly. Not if I had the kind Grandma wears. She sees how to fix a lot of things. She sees lots of nice things to do on rainy days. She sees when folks are tired and sad and what will make them feel better. She always sees that you what you meant to do, even if you didn't do it quite right. I asked her one day, Grandma, how can you see that way all the time? And she said, it's just the way I've learned to look at things as I grow older. So the little boy said, so it must be her glasses. You see, isn't that what helps us to get through life? To have the proper perspective on the things of life when we're looking at it with the right attitude? You see, attitude is very vital and very important to our work in the church moving forward. The power of attitude is seen in the fact that since it reflects what we believe, it reflects what we are, what we will do, what we will sacrifice, how hard we will work, and how much of ourselves we will give to anything. You see, there can be no doubt that our attitude and that your attitude as a congregation here at 4th and Stewart, your attitude is going to go a long way as to whether or not you're going to be successful in moving forward successfully in the future. And we're going to talk about some of those different attitudes in a moment. But let's mention for a moment, what does the Bible say about attitudes? First of all, our English word attitude is not translated in the Bible as attitude. It's translated mostly like with words like mind or countenance or heart. Attitude is a very descriptive word which gives insight into how a person thinks or feels about something or someone. I want you to look at some passages with me here that talks about attitude, and I want you to see the attitude in the verse. First of all, for Ezra had set his heart to seek the law of Jehovah and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and ordinances. What was his attitude? Where's the attitude there? Well, I kind of gave you a cheat note. It's in yellow. Set his heart. What was his attitude? His attitude was seeking the law of the Lord to do it and to teach it. And so there's an attitude. Notice also in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto half the height thereof, for the people had a mind to work. What kind of attitude did they have? They had a working attitude, even amidst difficulty. Notice also in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 17. They all built the wall, and they that bear burdens laden on themselves, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other he held a weapon. That's one of my favorite passages in the Old Testament, because I can just see them there as they're building the wall, and Tobiah and other people are trying to give them difficulty. They have a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. They're building a wall, and they're fighting. That's a great attitude. They're not going to let the enemy stop them from doing the work of the Lord. Now notice over in your Bibles in Psalm chapter 119, beginning in verse 97, notice the attitude here that the psalmist seeks for. In Psalm 119, beginning in verse 97, it says, "Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Though through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." You would think that the psalmist had a pretty good attitude toward the Scriptures, wouldn't you? He says, "Oh, how I love thy law." Well, how do we see him loving his law? What did he do? He meditated on it day and night. And he kept the precepts. And so his attitude was seen in what? His actions. The things that he did. Attitude. Notice also in your Bible in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, notice there as we begin reading in verse 5. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient even unto death of the cross." Let this mind be in you. I believe some translations even say, have the attitude of Christ. What kind of attitude did he have? Well, he had an attitude of sacrifice. Notice the attitude in Acts chapter 5, verse 41. They therefore departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. They felt it an honor and a privilege. They didn't bellyache and complain, but they felt it an honor. That's a wonderful attitude. What's our attitude to difficulties in doing the Lord's work? You know, when things aren't going so good in a congregation, I never hear so much grumbling in all my days. But when these people are having a difficult time, what happened? They rejoice. That's a wonderful attitude. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 22. Put away as concerning your former manner of life the old man that waxeth corrupt after the lust of deceit, and that ye may be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, sometimes we tell our kids, you better change that attitude, son. Sometimes we need to change our attitude, don't we? With regard to the Lord's Word. 1 Peter 4 and verse 1. For as much then as Christ suffered in the flesh, arm ye yourselves also with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. You know, it is obvious that God's Word recognizes the importance of attitude and either commands or condemns people for the product of attitude in their life. We all have an attitude. The question we need to ask is, do we have a good attitude or a bad attitude? I want you to notice now some attitudes that we're going to need for the future of the Lord's church. First of all, we're going to need a positive attitude toward God. The Bible says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with how much of your heart? All your heart. And how much of your soul? All of it. And how much of your mind? And how much of your strength? What would you say? That he's saying that we ought to love God with every ounce of our being. And for us to do that, don't you think we're going to have a positive attitude toward God? Notice also, we need to have a positive attitude toward the church. You'll notice there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28 in the American Standard, it says, besides those things that are without, there is that which presseth upon me daily, anxiety for all the churches. What was Paul's thinking about the church? What was his attitude toward it? It gave him cause for concern and worry and anxiety. And he was always thinking about it. He was always wanting the church to be better. Always thinking about the places that he's been. He went to a lot of congregations, didn't he? He established a lot of congregation. And he says anxiety for all the churches. What's our attitude toward the church? Well, we need to promote it, to talk it up, to let people know about the church. But a lot of times, what do? We're on the way home in a car, and we're griping and complaining all the way home, and the kids in the back seat hearing every word of it going. We ought not to be tearing down the Lord's church. Right? If you can't say something good about the Lord's church, don't say nothing. Now, I know there are people that are doing harm to the Lord's church, but that's individuals. You don't need to be speaking bad about the church. We need to be talking it up, building it up, standing for what's right, and encouraging those who are doing wrong to do the right thing with regard to the Lord's church. But also, we need to have a positive attitude toward the church involving several areas. For example, loving the people in the church. I want you to flip over in your Bibles with me. Now, do you love one another? Shake or nod. Do you love one another? Let's see. Let's see if you do. Turn over in your Bibles in 1 John chapter 3. Verses 16 through 18. You know, it's easy for us to say, yeah, I love my brethren. Well, let's put a litmus test on it. In 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, it says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, we ought to also lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up the bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the God of love, the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So, if we really love our brothers, and we really have the right attitude one for another, we're not just going to say, yes, I love them, but we're going to what? We're going to show them that we love them. My wife and I say, we never go a day without saying we love each other. But you can say you love one another, and that might not mean anything unless you what? You show it. You know, I can tell my wife every day I love her, but make her mad and a hornet every day. Am I really showing my love? Maybe some flowers, picking up your socks, you know. You have a problem there, don't you? You know, we need to show our love by the things that we do. And that's most assuredly true among the brethren. But also, we need to show that we have the right attitude toward the church by actively supporting the work of the church. Before we get away from that, you know, there's been an old saying, Christians are like blisters. They always show up after the work's done. I don't know how it is here, but I've been places where you have a work day. We'd have a congregation in Arkansas there. Sometimes it seemed like it was 130, 40 people. And we have a work day and we have 5 people show up. Well, I decided to say, hey, we're going to door knock this section of town just today. And let's all go there and pass out flyers for the VBS or gospel meeting or something. And 4 people show up. What's our attitude toward the Lord's Word? What's our real attitude toward the Lord's church when we're not really a part of the Lord's Word? There's a song that Austin Taylor wrote in the back. I think it's in this song. And it goes like, there is a work for every Christian in the vineyard of the Lord. There is a work that you can do. I don't care who you are. You may be old. You may have a disability. You may be young. You may be not so smart. You may be really smart. There is a work that you can do in the kingdom of God. And so all of us then need to do what? What we can, and it might be financially, but do what you can in supporting the work of the church. And sometimes it's easier to give your money than your time, isn't it? But also, another positive attitude that we need to have toward the church is our level of involvement. How much are we involved? Do we just come and sit in the pew? Is that the involvement we're in? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 to do what? Seek ye second? Seek God when it's convenient. He said what? Seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's not always easy to seek God first, is it? It's not easy. There's so many other things that get in our way. But we need to, our involvement, we need to put some things off. Do something another day. But we also need to have a positive attitude toward the assemblies of the church. Now, I know this doesn't affect you much because you're here and probably you're always here, the ones that are here tonight. But we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, are we? I'm not talking about someone who's sick or has a night shift or something, but I'm talking about someone who chooses not to be here. Now, let me back up a second. If you have a job that's going to cause you to miss a bunch of Sundays every Sunday, maybe you ought to think about changing jobs. Because what's more important? Money or the Lord? And we're talking about people here primarily who choose not to come who could. They just simply would rather not. You know, a long time ago, I made up my mind I was never going to miss worship services or Bible class or anything. I don't have to get up in the morning and decide, well, am I going to go to church today? Oh, man, it's raining outside. The humidity is horrible. So I think I'll just stay. I got a little twinge in my brain. So we stay home. You know, you can almost be dead and drag yourself to a football game. But people have a hangnail and they want to stay home from church. What attitude does that show? It shows that you're not seeking God's kingdom first. You're showing, the kids, God is the most important thing in our lives. Okay, it's Sunday night, let's go to the lake. What is your attitude said? That's not the right attitude. What's the old saying? Actions speak louder than what? Words. Notice also that we need to have a positive attitude about dealing, being different from the world. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians for a moment. In 2 Corinthians at chapter 6, beginning there in verse 14, you know, and this is akin to making a difference in the world. But at the same time, not only are we going to make a difference in the world, we need to be different from the world. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians at chapter 6, beginning there in verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, but for what fellowship hath righteousness with darkness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." This is the difference between leading others to Christ and leading others away from Christ by the way we live. We need to be different, not yoked. You know, unequally yoked. You know, I wasn't back in the old days, and I never plow with oxen. I think Alan probably plowed with oxen. But they have a yoke, and ancient yokes were cut out of wood. And they had to be cut out evenly so that as the oxen pulled, they would pull together and not against each other. Well, we need to be careful being yoked with the world. You know, it's kind of like we're yoked with the world, in a sense, because we're in the world, aren't we? I heard Roy Deaver say this one time. It's good for a boat to be in the water, right? But it's not good for the water to be in the boat. And it's good for a Christian to be in the world. But it's not good for the world to be in the Christian. And so we need to be different from the world. People ought to be able to see by the way we live, by the things that we say, by what we talk, how we talk, that we're different. But notice also, we need to have a positive attitude about life. You know, we talked in our class this morning about worry and how, you know, some people just worry themselves sick. They're worry warts. And I always wondered the etymology of that phrase. But we worry so much and we have a negative attitude about life. But we need to have a positive attitude about life. The Bible says, and we know. What was that, Paul? You think? There's a high probability. What did Paul say? I know that to them that love God, all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to His purpose. We talked about this afternoon, about how that all things are not good, but all things do what? They work together for good. And what's the key to that? To those who love the Lord. And so we need to have a positive attitude. Even though things in your life may not be going the right way, you still have to say, I know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. You know, you can't keep an attitude secret. Your attitude and how you feel about things is going to come out. It's going to show in your face, in your voice, in your actions. You know, some people come in the church building looking like they've been winged on a sour pickle. I mean, where's the joy in Christianity? Said, well, how are you doing today? I'm doing fine. You know? Your attitude comes out in your everyday life, in your Christianity. However much you are for or against something, your attitude is going to show it. And if the church is going to move forward into the future and do all that God wants us to do, then we're going to have a good attitude. We're going to have the proper attitude. And the question that I want to ask you tonight is, are you moving forward with the proper attitude? That's going to be a key to the church here at 4th and Stewart being successful. Not only doing all the things that we talked about this week, but having the right attitude. It's vital that we do this. What's your attitude toward God and His will for you with regard to salvation? I've got friends in the past who've been going to church almost all their life and never become a Christian. What's their attitude? It's not good toward God. Or they do what? They obey. If you're not a Christian, you need to believe on Him. Repent of your sins, confess His name, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, and the Lord will add you to His church, singular. And if you are a Christian, maybe your attitude is not right. Now's the night that you can change it. If we can help you tonight with any way, in any way concerning your salvation, please come while we stand and while we sing.